Good morning. Good morning. Well, if you don't like the weather, just wait 24 hours or 12 or 2. 70s on Tuesday and Wednesday. How nice. Oh, my. That time of year. We have several things going on this week. And on behalf of Bonnie, ladies, the women's book study is this Wednesday at 6:30. You want to say anything else about that or nope? Okay. And also on Wednesday, we have our 1 p.m. Bible study held right outside my office. There's no book. I have handouts every week, so you can come and join us anytime you want. 1 p.m. every other Wednesday, and it's this Wednesday. Also this Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our depression and anxiety support group meeting. It's mostly been just one person and me. If you are interested, you want to come out and sit and share and talk about what you've been going on, and it's always good to know that you're not alone, but you are invited to come out and join us again right outside my office, and that's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. And at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, we have our Pastor Parish Relations Committee meeting. And so please, if you're a part of PPR, come on out for that. Those are the announcements that I wanted to highlight. There's several other things coming up. We've got a lot going on, which is good. It's a good sign of a busy church. It's good. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we gather together here on this sacred and holy ground to worship you and to praise you. And God, we pray that what we do is pleasing to you. We pray that our cries and our pleasure, that it all goes to the heights of heaven. And Lord, we love you. Blessed be your holy name. Come, Holy Spirit, into this place and into our hearts. Fill us with a truly heavenly, repentant spirit for our sins and our sinful ways. Put our eyes upon you and not upon circumstance. And Lord, fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. We're still not greeting after the services because of the flu. And so, once again, I would encourage you to say hi. Pass the peace of Christ. So let's, the peace of the Lord be with you. Let's pass that peace to our neighbor.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. As you're making your way back to your seats, I'm going to make a few announcements that you may not have read. First of all, I want to offer a very, very warm welcome to all of you, particularly those who may be visiting with us today. You will notice that at the pew there is a red folder at the end of each pew. That is our attendance folder, and I encourage you to sign that so we know you're here. It's to register your attendance. Also, there are 3x5 cards in that folder. If you have any prayer requests, anything you would like to bring before the church, please fill that out. Place it in the card holder at the end of each pew. The ushers will pick it up and bring it to the pastor. Our memory verse for February is at the top of your bulletin. Let us repeat it through two times. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I'm sure that you all will be going through the bulletin to see what activities you should be involved in and participating in this week. However, I'd like to highlight just a couple things. One is that along with the other meetings that are going to be held this week, on Wednesday, the United Methodist Men will be meeting at 7 o'clock p.m. That's this Wednesday, the 21st. They will meet in the church parlor. For this month's meeting, Mike has asked you, is it you that has asked them to read that? Okay. Mike has asked the men to read the Gospel of John, and then you will have a discussion about that gospel. As usual, you will have pie and coffee after the meeting. It's too bad this meeting is only for the men. That's a shame about that. Okay, please, if there are any other announcements, I'd like you to let me know now so we can announce them.
Just me.
Diane.
I'm passing the clipboard again today. We still have a couple of spots that are have some openings. I still need another person at least to help Peggy iron tablecloths. We did get one name. So if you're able to help with that, it's on the second page. We're also still looking for someone to hang out in the narthex area before and after the Last Supper on Thursday to handle selling the DVDs and other items that we have. There are also sheets still for greeters and ushers and worship hosts. Please see if you feel called to that be that part of that ministry. Please see the sheet. Out in the narthex, the yard signs are there for the Last Supper. Please pick those up and with the stands. They're in a separate box, so make sure you get both parts. There are also posters. Two different kinds of posters, and our pocket posters. So be sure to take a handful and start advertising in our community about the Living Last Supper. One last one for the Living Last Supper. We're still looking for singers. So if you would like to commit for a six-week period to sing with us, rehearsals will start this Thursday at 8:15. I'll send you home with a CD and your music, so if you can't make all the rehearsals, that's fine. But we are looking for singers for that as well. Thank you.
Also, you do notice that today is Camp Sunday. Are you going to talk about that, Laurie? Okay.
Good morning, and happy Camp Sunday. I think I was just thinking I should probably tell Hallmark about that, and they can start like a whole new card series for Camp Sunday. This was the best week of my life. I thought I would miss my family or phone, but I didn't. By the end of the week, I didn't want to leave. Thank you. Wonderful experience. My kids grew so much in such a short time. Don't change the food. It was really good. I had so much fun, and I can't wait till next year. Have established a closer relationship with God. Thank you for an awesome week. These were just some of the testimonies that were in the camp information that I get. And as you know, we had several testimonies in our own newsletter of campers that went, so all had a good time. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the three camps. Most of you are familiar with Camp Allegheny, Wesley Woods, and Jamonville. We have three great camps. Wesley Woods, I'll start with that one. It's the furthest away from Irwin, located in Grand Valley, PA, between Titusville and Youngsville, covering about 600 acres in Warren County. This camp is very rustic and is the one camp that offers camps year-round. They have horseback riding and fishing in the summer, skiing and sled riding camps in the winter. New this year is the ARC camp, A-R-C. It's astronomy, rocketry, and computers camp, where you build and launch model rockets and have hands-on science lessons with a Christian view. Also new this year is a family camp with a zip line to ride a giant slide and a scavenger hunt for the entire family. Wesley Woods offers, and this is the only camp, offers an early bird discount of 10% if you pay by May 1st. So, and it also has a discount of $25 if you have two children from the same family that are attending that camp. I have never been to Wesley Woods. I heard it's a wonderful camp. The only guy that I know ever went to Wesley Woods is John Weber. So if you see John, you can talk to him sometime. He said he had a really, really fun week. Camp Allegheny. It's located near Somerset, PA, straight up Route 30. This camp is just 1 mile past the Flight 93 Memorial entrance. And like Wesley Woods, it's somewhat rustic and known for its different horse camps. This camp was recently partnered with Game Changer Sports. So this is brand new this year. I think it's really interesting to bring two new sports camps. The one is lacrosse and the other one is swimming. Members of NCAA and Division I coaches are teaching these camps. And when I read into that, it's a guy that was a previous coach at Pitt, and he is now teaching this lacrosse camp. So I'm sure that would be pretty good. You can express your faith on the field or in the pool. Also new at Camp Allegheny is a special offer where you can sign up for a second week at half off after your attendance of the first week. So that saves you a little bit of money there. Our women's retreat will be held there again this year. So save the date, ladies. It is going to be August 24th to 26th, and it's called Friends of the Heart, and the theme being If Our Closets Could Talk. So that sounds like a real interesting retreat for you ladies. Germanville, it is located on the outskirts of Hopwood, PA, in the Uniontown, Connellsville area. It's best known for its landmark, the huge 60-foot white steel cross that stands on the mountaintop. It's not your typical camp. It looks much like a college campus, and it offers 50 different types of camps, and they go from June through August. Many sports camps are available there: soccer, golf, softball, tennis, wrestling, along with middle school and high school sports camps, which offer basketball, volleyball, ultimate frisbee, hockey, football, and four square. Basic instruction is offered and game time. There is an ultimate games camp, and it's led by none other than Pastor Justin Judy. So you can read about that in the brochure. And his, his little write-up in there, it said, come and find out. So I'm not really sure what goes on there, but it's an ultimate games camp. So coming up at Germanville, and this is new too, it's a father-son weekend, and that sounds great. It's going to be held April the 6th to the 8th, and the pastor that's leading this event is a great guy, and he's named Reverend Jude Urso. And it's kind of funny, when I read that about him, he and his wife both headed up the Grandma and Me camp last year, and they're wonderful people. But this particular guy has three daughters, so he has no sons. So I'm sure he's looking forward to spending some time with, you know, some boys and men. Those events are staffed by an army of Christian volunteers. All three camps, however, are always in need of high school seniors and college students to work at the camps as counselors, wranglers, lifeguards, and kitchen help. Our camps are indebted to the local United Methodists for giving apportionment dollars through their churches to the annual conference. So this is monies that you give to our, what used to be called Mission Share, now a Connectional Apportionment. Some of those monies go to help pay some of the counselors that come to the camp. These funds help pay the summer counselors, and counselor in training costs have been reduced due to these gifts. So the camps thank you for you contributing to that. I just wanted to mention in the three camps, in the Methodist camps, there's no camper ever turned away because they can't afford the cost of church camp. There are scholarships available at all three camps. Our church campership funding gives 40% of the total cost to each camper. Last year, we had 25 campers registered, which from what I had seen in past years, I think that's the most we have ever registered. So I'm really happy. I'm a happy camper about that. This number includes the youth retreat and the women's retreat. So we think we had five or six ladies go to the women's retreat last year. It's an increase of five people from the previous year. A total of $3,039 was paid out of this fund to assist those campers. The hoagie sale last year and the clean closets for campers, the clothing bin, that also helps to replenish our fund. Last year, the hoagie sales brought in close to $500, and our clothing bin generated about $180. So keep giving to that. That's a year-round project that, you know, it's easy. Just throw your clothes in the bags, and, you know, the mission partners come and assess the value of those clothes, and they weigh them, and they sort them, and they send a check directly from the conference center to our church, and it goes directly into campership funding. So I want to thank you for your ongoing support on that. Camps fill up fast, so I would recommend anybody that went to camp last year and loved the camp and want to go again, the same camp, at least get your registration in so it holds your spot. The process is, in the back of the brochures, which are back in the parlor, there is a registration form in the very back. You can fill that out and give it to Debbie in the church office, and then she will send out a church check along with that form to the camp that you're going to. So that holds your spot. And then there's also other monies available. I mean, there's all three camps have scholarships, and they're for anyone to use. So please don't hesitate. Don't let that keep you from going to camp, because there are monies available. I wanted to be in the parlor today after church, but I had my brother's having surgery at noon, so I want to be in there with him. So my daughter's going to be back there, and there are brochures, and feel free to contact me at any time. There's a lot of information back there, so make sure you stop in the parlor because we have a lot of really good snacks. Okay? Thank you.
As Laurie was talking, I couldn't help but get a little sentimental. My oldest son is 58, and my boys all went to camp, every one of the camps. And they walked in the way of the Lord all of their lives. And because of the camps and the training, one of them was led to become a minister in the United Methodist Church. So it's a very important thing for young people and for us old people too if we want to go to the camp. So I encourage you to do that. There being no further messages, let's begin our worship.
During the weeks before Christmas, we celebrated the anticipation of the coming of the Christ child with candles. One by one, during Advent, we lit the candles of peace, hope, joy, and love, all in preparation for the beginning of Christ's life on earth, Emmanuel, God with us. And all of this culminated on Christmas Day, a holy day, when we lit the Christ candle itself. Christ candle represents the light of Jesus Christ shining in the world, living in our midst, coming forth to save us and inviting us to its warmth. Now that was a joyous season. Today we are in another season, the season of Lent. And Lent is the season before Easter. It is in some ways opposite of Advent because it is a sober season. It is the time of preparation for the coming of Christ Passion Week. During Lent, we tune in to the dark days that got darker and even darker and ended in Christ's death.
I am Philip. I remember that they were days of suffering and rejection, of conflict and betrayal. They were days that ended with the extinguishing of the light of the Christ candle that was lit at Christmas. We know now that Christ's light would be rekindled and lit again in each of us. But in these coming weeks, let us tune in to the darkening days of Lent as we, one by one, extinguish the candle set before us. until on Good Friday, the flame on the Christ candle dies.
Please stand for the call to worship and read along with me. To you, O Lord, I will lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exalt over me.
Let none that wait for you be put to shame.
Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in the truth and teach me.
For you are my God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore the Lord instructs sinners in the way and teaches them their path.
All the paths of the Lord.
Please remain standing for hymn number 269.
Sunday. Got some happy campers here. We got to put our lantern on when we camp, right? Have you guys all been to camp? No, I know some of you have. I'm going to show you a picture. And I want you to look at this picture because it was from camp last year. When I went to camp, I went to what's called Mommy, Daddy, Grandparent, and Me. So look at this picture. Do you know anybody in this picture? Yep, there's Grandma Saporito with the group. I had all five last year. So what's different about this group of mine? Yeah, we all have the same sweatshirts on. And you know what? I kind of had to do that because that way I can keep track of all of them. I don't want to lose one. So they all look the same. Sometimes if you go to Kennywood or something, does Mom ever put a shirt on you that stands out? Maybe a neon shirt or something. They say, oh, there's my kid. I know that one's mine. That's a good idea, huh? But you know, it's always good to stand out in the crowd. It's always good to be a little bit different sometimes. Sometimes God wants us to be different. He doesn't want us to be like everybody else. And, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about at camp. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit. So I thought we could talk about the fruits of the Spirit. I have an apple, and I have a tangerine, and I have a grapefruit. Let me see. Oh, and I have a banana. These are all the fruits of the Spirit, right?
No.
No. What? Well, they all look different, and they all taste different. Just like us, sometimes we all look different from... They're not the fruit of the Spirit, huh? The fruits of the Spirit, there's nine of them. And you know what? We're going to know all nine by the end of this little children's message, and we are also going to teach everybody out there all the fruits of the Spirit, because we're going to sing a song at the end, and we want all the people to join in with us. And if you all look in your bulletin under announcements, under the camping section, it'll give you all the nine fruits of the Spirit. And when we get to that part in the song, I want you to just pretend like you're a camper and sing along with us. And when you leave this building, you'll be singing that on the way home. I guarantee it. Happens to me all the time. Every time I sing that song, did you ever get a song in your mind? And that's a good song to have in your mind, because then you know the fruits of the Spirit. But let's talk about them. Love. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love those who are unloving. That's really tough sometimes, isn't it? You have to love your enemies. Next one is joy. How can we be joyful? Well, we sing praises to God, don't we? And be happy and smile. Who likes to be around somebody that's always got a frown on their face and isn't happy? You always have to be happy, don't you? Good. I love to hear that. Peaceful. Don't argue with others. And forgive those people that make you angry. Sometimes people get on your nerves, huh? I know, that happens to me, and you have to just, you know, be a peaceful person. How about patience? That's another fruit of the Spirit. Be calm and understanding, even when something or someone really annoys you. Oh, that's happened to me a lot of times. How about kindness? That's another fruit of the Spirit. You have to do random acts of kindness. Be nice to people. And don't expect them to do anything in return for you. If you do something nice to them, then don't expect them to do something nice back to you. That's what God wants. He wants you to just do it out of the goodness of your heart. And Kelton, what do I always tell you, and Cam, and Logan? How are you kind to people? What do you have to do?
Be a gentleman.
And what do you do to be a gentleman?
Hold the door.
Oh, that's so important. Hold the door open for people, and they love that. When you go to a restaurant, stand back and open that door up. You want to see how people look at you like, whoa. Girls can do that too. Next one is goodness. You have to be a good person. You have to have good morals, don't you? Be generous to others and always remember to share. Share what you have with others, because we have so much. The next one is faithfulness. Keep your promise to someone. Be loyal to others so that they know they can trust you. Sometimes your friend will come up and tell you something, and they confide in you. So you don't want to go telling that to everybody. They trusted in you, so you have to be faithful to your promise. Gentleness. Have a mild, kindly tone or attitude, and be sympathetic to others when they're sad. Sometimes you can just tell when someone's having a bad day and they're sad, so you have to be sympathetic. Have a gentle spirit with those people. Self-control. Be responsible for what you do. Control your actions or your emotions. You're never alone. All of these, you're never alone. They're sometimes hard to do, but you're never alone. God's always there to help you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have our little prayer first, and then I have some fruit snacks. How appropriate for everyone. And then we're going to sing the song, and then we're going to give you the buckets. So that's a lot to remember, I know. But let's start with our prayer first. Dear God, thank you for church camp, another place that we can go and feel your presence. Help us this week to remember and to live by the fruits of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I think some of you know it. And if everybody has their bulletin, they can look and see. I'll come down here and kind of help. I can't do all the motions with the mic, but Ireland and Kelton know the motions, okay? So first we're going to do the coconut, the banana, and then the watermelon, and then the grapes. We all cluster together for grapes. Okay, ready? The fruit spirits. Coconut, a fruit of the spirits, not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, just well hear it. Can't be a fruit of the spirit. Fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of a spirit's not a banana. The fruit of a spirit's not a banana. If you want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of a spirit's not a watermelon. A fruit of a spirit's not a watermelon. If you want to be a watermelon, might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit. Fruits are
love, joy, peace, patience,
kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here we go. Grapes, ready?
Fruit of the spirit's not a grape.
If you want to be a grape, well, hear it. Can't be a fruit of the spirit. Fruits are patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Whoa, that was great. That was great.
Thank you so very much, Sunshiners. That was just wonderful. Today's Word of God is taken from the New Testament, 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 18 through 22. Christ also suffered. He died once for the sins of us all as guilty sinners, although he himself was innocent of any sin at any time. He died that he might bring us safely home to God. But though his body died, his spirit lived on. And it was in the spirit that he visited the spirits in prison and preached to them. These were the spirits of those who long before, in the days of Noah, had refused to listen to God, even though God waited patiently for them while Noah built the ark. Yet there were only 8 persons who were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. That, by the way, is what baptism pictures for us. In baptism, we show that we have been saved from death and doom by the resurrection of Christ. Not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking him to cleanse our hearts from sin. And now Christ lives in heaven, sitting in the place of honor next to God the Father, with all the angels and the powers in heaven, bowing before him and obeying him. This is the word of God. Will the ushers please come forward for our tithes and offerings?
Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the camping ministry, because it is at these camps that so many people first meet Jesus. Give you thanks, Lord, for those who support it and for an opportunity to give to you. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. And so we give these tithes and these offerings, Lord. And we pray that you would bless and multiply them and use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who aren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, and please be seated. Joys. What joys do we have we want to share? Sunshine. Camping. What's that? Coming spring, Lionel trains. Caring doctors and nurses. Our health such that it is. Our families. Prayer warriors, if you are willing to be on a prayer chain, contact Bernie or Jean, let them know. Then whenever a prayer chain request goes out, you'll get a call and pass it on to the next person. So I thank God for prayer warriors, intercessors. What else is a joy? Give me a joy. Our church family. What was that? Pets. Pets are a joy. For all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, pens and pencils. Mental tablets. All this is all of our homework. We are privileged people, aren't we? I mean, we wear the clothes that we wear all the time. We go about our daily rituals. But we are very special from the rest of the world because we are the children of Almighty God. We have His ear. And He's saying, what can I do for you? Just ask me, what can I do for you? So if we don't ask, shame on us. So, prayer requests. I've got a list I'll start us off with. I want to pray for David. Actually, we have two Davids in our congregation. Need our prayers. And Harry, we want to pray for Lori and Bob. Let's pray for our country and our country's leaders at all levels of the government. Pray for the office, USA. Pray for FUMC, First United Methodist Church of Irwin. Pray for our church that we would be all that God wants us to be. Pray for the victims and families and friends of the school shootings. Let's pray for law enforcement. and our first responders, especially those involved in these incidents. Let's pray for those who are addicted, continue to fight the opioid addiction in every which way we can. Let's fight it with a lot of prayer. Let's rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Remember, on the back of our bulletin, there's a list of names of our shut-ins and those on the prayer list. They need our prayers as well. Don't forget to pray for people who are lost, who don't know Jesus. And if you know them personally, show them the love of Christ. Pray for our missionaries, the church's missionaries, not the United Methodist Church, but all missionaries all over the world, doing things that we wouldn't want to do. Pray for Danny, for Ruth, for Matt and family. We have a Joshua that needs our prayers, Stephanie, and somebody looking for employment. Who else? That's a list. Take you 5-10 minutes to really put some prayer into it. Who else do we want to pray for? Alec. Okay, we want to pray for Aubrey and for Linda. Aubrey and Linda. Phoebe Rose. Okay, for another Linda. God knows the details. Let's pray for Joe. You know what I really like to hear too is when somebody brings up the same name week after week. I mean, that's commitment. That's the way it should be. You keep praying for that person. You keep praying until something happens. Did I see anybody else? JJ, yes. Let's pray for JJ. Okay. Keep Wendell in your prayers. Things are going well, though. Okay, keep Wendell in your prayers. Unspoken request. Raise that hand. God sees the hand, knows the details. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You're greater than any problem that we have. You've heard the list here today. You know each and every name and each and every situation. And God, You are Emmanuel, God with us. And You want us to have life and have life abundantly. We know that You hurt when we hurt. You rejoice when we rejoice. And so God, in Your infinite wisdom and in Your mighty power and in Your endless mercy, bless us and all these people today. Touch us all with a healing touch, for the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by His stripes we are healed. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With You, God, all things are possible. We have favor with God and man. It is written. And Lord, we will be careful to give You and You alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel according to Mark. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, He saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on Him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are My Son, whom I love. With You I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent Him into the wilderness, and He was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended Him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Well, God is calling. We particularly want to talk about that during Lent, but God is always calling. You and me, God's always calling. And John Wesley says that God began calling us long before we had even an inkling of who he was. And that's called God's prevenient grace. The grace that comes before. That's what Wesley called it. Prevenient grace. And so the Holy Spirit began wooing us, begging us, pleading with us, making things happen in our life to make us aware of his presence and convicting us and converting us, you know, just bringing us to that point in our life where we realized we were sinners and we needed salvation. That's prevenient grace. And God didn't give up. God kept calling us until we got to the point where we were willing to repent of our sin and accept Christ into our lives. We invited Jesus in. Now, John Wesley called that justifying grace. And God still doesn't quit. God continues to work in our lives. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, he then begins to clean us up, to get rid of the impurities, to make us more holy. And John Wesley called that sanctifying grace, being made holy, being made more Christ-like. So God is always calling us. And let me ask you, why do you call somebody? Who might you call? Who would you call? Friends? You really would call him? Okay. Family? He would call family? Who else might you call? Doctor? Pizza shop? Let me ask you, I wouldn't call any of you right now because you're here, right? So why do we call people then? We call them to keep in touch. Why else might you say we call people? Pass along information to see if they're okay. And what was that? Offer help. So we call people to communicate with them in some way or another. We call them to get their attention, would be fair to say, right? We want to get their attention and offer them help, see if they're okay, to see what's going on, just to converse with them. We call them because they're not where we're at. And so God calls us because we are not where he is at. When God was first calling us, there was something that separated us from God. We say that God is everywhere, so why did he have to call us? What is it that separated us from God? And that's real simple. Most of us know that. It's sin. Sin is the impurity in our lives that separates us from God, puts up a barrier. It distracts us. But God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, keeps calling us until that point when we are convicted and we repent of our sin. See, when the phone rings in your house, what do? You let it ring? That's Bonnie. Let it ring. She doesn't. If you're expecting to get somebody at my home by calling my house phone, forget it. She will not answer it. I mean, in the over a year and a half that we've been there, I think we've had maybe 3 phone calls for us on the phone. Everything else has always been telemarketers or political stuff. And Leanna Lake and David Lake and, you know, it's just nobody calls for us on our house phone. It's all on the cell phone if they want us. So remember that. You want me, call me on my cell phone, which is in the bulletin. But But let's just say you're a normal, traditional person. I love you, dear. What would you do when your phone rang? And say hello? You'd say hello. So when God calls us, it's not hello we have to say. When God is calling us to come into his presence, there's something very important we have to do, because we can't go into his presence other word, and it is get rid of that sin. And we do that through repentance. We have got to repent of the sin in our lives, surrender our lives by inviting Jesus in to take control. Then God is able to bring us into his presence. Because God, in his holy nature, cannot abide sin in his presence. It's not a choice that he makes, it's just the facts. He is holy and righteous. So we have the prevenient grace that woos us and calls us to God. We have the justifying grace of accepting Christ, and he paid the price for our sins on the cross. And we have sanctifying grace, which makes us more holy. And then we have those impurities in our lives that we need to get rid of in order to hear God and to be in God's presence. We need to repent when we accept Christ. We have to repent. And, you know, we have any jewelers here? Any jewelers? Anybody here have a lot of jewelry? Anybody here like jewelry? That was all ladies' hands. They're all ladies. You know, when a jeweler gets, let's say, silver, when he gets the raw material, it's ore, and he receives this chunk of ore, and in it is silver, but along with the silver, there's a lot of impurities, you know, dirt and stones and, you know, rocks and ash and other minerals and that he doesn't want in there. He just wants the silver. So what he does is he heats it up. Now, there's other chemicals that he adds in the process, but the main thing is he heats it up until it gets to the melting point, and all of a sudden that silver goes from being hard to running out, soft. And you know what happens to all those impurities? They float on top. And so he skims off the impurities. Now, those impurities, they're called dross. D-R-O-S-S, dross, things that are unnecessary, things that are wasteful, things that are impure, garbage, dross. Now hold on to that word, D-R-O-S-S. You can impress your neighbors, slip that into conversation. Oh, that's just a lot of dross. Say what? Dross. Yeah. But that's what God does in our lives. See, in James chapter 1, it says kind of pure joy when you go through trials and tribulations. Because trials and tribulations work perseverance. Perseverance works faith. And so the trials and tribulations that God allows to come into our lives, he sees us through them. But during those trials and tribulations, we learn to trust in God. And we begin to put the things of the world behind us. Because all of a sudden we find out they're not important. God is important. Because I'm in this trial and tribulation, and these things of the world can't help me, but God can. And so our faith grows, and all of this garbage, this dross, then by faith is swept away. And we become more holy and more Christ-like. Now, of course, we backslide and we wander away, and God continues to call us. We need to repent of our sins, always struggling with the flesh. And there's dross that we need to continually keep cleaned out of our lives. But that's the process that we go through as Christians. You know, I wish I could tell you that being a Christian is, well, it's a cakewalk. It's peace. It's fun, you know. Being a Christian, that's, woohoo, yeah. Yeah, all hunky-dory. I wish I could tell you that being a church is all about having fun and playing games and eating a lot of good food and being entertained and having a nice place and that's all there was to it, getting together and hanging out with each other. But I would be leading you astray if I said that. Because in truth, being the church, the body of Christ, is tough. It's difficult. It means getting along with each other, and not just getting along, but calling each other family and loving each other even though we're different. And it means making sacrifices. It means digging deep in our pockets and supporting ministries and creating new ministries. It means digging deep into our schedules and spending time doing things when we'd rather be doing something else. It means cleaning out the dross out of our lives so that we can do the things that God wants us to do through this body of Christ to change the world, to turn it upside down, to save souls before it's too late. Too late for them or too late for all of us. It's not easy being a Christian, and I won't lie to you about that. It's the toughest job in the whole world. Loving people when you don't feel like it. But you love them because God said to. And as we clean that dross out, it gets easier to love people because we're using the love of God, not our love. Jesus was called out of Nazareth of Galilee to be baptized by John. And when he was baptized by John, who didn't want to do it, John said, you know, I should be baptized by you. Jesus said, let's do this for now to fulfill all righteousness. I'm doing it because God the Father said to. And so he baptizes him. When he comes up out of the water, Mark says that heaven is torn apart. Not just the heavens open, but heaven is torn apart with force and power. And the Holy Spirit comes down out of this torn apart heaven. The Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and settles on Jesus. And then a voice booms through the air and says, this is my beloved Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then what does the Holy Spirit immediately do to Jesus, according to the Word of God? Drives him into the wilderness. Let those who have ears hear. When you answer the call of God upon your life and you become a Christian, the first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a test. And there's going to be a test, and there's going to be a test, and there's always going to be a test. Because continually, two things are going to happen. One, God's going to allow trials and tribulations to come upon us so that he can get rid of the dross in our lives. Two, Satan isn't going to like you being a Christian. And he's going to fight you tooth and nail. He's going to try to add dross to your life to distract you, to break you down, you know, like he tried to do to Jesus. You know, there are some Christians that when they get up in the morning, Satan don't pay any attention. When they wander off to church, Satan don't pay any attention. Because he knows along the way they're going to gossip and lie and be lazy and just, you know, they don't set a good example. And then there are some Christians that when they wake up, Satan goes, oh no, they're awake. I would invite you to walk through your home and see what kind of dross you have in your house. Take a walk room by room. Take a notepad with you. Write things down to pray about them, maybe to ask about them. You know, I have this stuff in my house, and I'm not sure if it's taking me away from God or not. Maybe it's leading to some kind of idol worship. Maybe it's something I pay too much attention to, spend too much time on. Maybe it's, you know, just imagine if you would invite Jesus to your house. You know, if I invited Jesus to our house, I could show him around all the rooms, and I get to that back bedroom or the front bedroom, and we've got a bookcase in the corner that I have my DVDs on. That bookcase is tall and it's wide. If you want DVDs to watch, you know, you want a movie night, give me a call, come on over and borrow some. You'll have to fill out a background check and some other information, but I got all kind of DVDs. And guys, my DVDs, it's not worth buying unless something blows up or somebody gets killed in the first 10 minutes. So, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe God would say, yeah, I don't know about this. But this is Lent. God is calling. And I don't know what stage of that call you're at. But to hear God more clearly, we need to repent of the sin in our lives, get rid of the dross. And God is giving us plenty of opportunity to do that through our trials and tribulations. Get rid of that dross and invite Jesus in. Search your heart, your life, your home. See what needs to change for God's honor and glory and praise. God loves you, and so do I. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a camp song again. Pass It On, number 572. Well, I really do miss greeting and hugging and shaking hands and catching up. If there's anything you need to talk about, come down and see me. But we're still battling this flu epidemic along with everything else, trying to use some wisdom here. So once again, I will not greet. Not yet. We have across the hall there in the parlor, we've got some camp goodies for you, including ants. So stop across for some refreshments and that, and there's some publications about our camping ministry as well. Busy schedules, right? Make sure you look at your bulletins, see where you need to be this week. A lot of things, especially going on Wednesday, but we have that meeting now right outside my office for anybody that's interested in helping give rides for church. You can just go and find out. You don't have to get involved if you don't want to. You might know somebody else that would be interested in doing that. But meet with Pastor Stephen now down at by my office. If you want to join the choir for the upcoming Living Last Supper, please come on out Thursday night at 8:15. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, thank you for this place that we call our home, sanctuary, a safe place to be, a place to recharge our batteries, and a place from which to charge out into the world in the name of Jesus to raise a standard against the evil that's out there. God, help us to search our hearts, our souls, our homes even, to see if there's any dross that we need to get rid of. Help us, God, for we would be truly pleasing to you. So fill us now, Lord, with your love as we leave this place, with love for one another, and especially with love for you. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Go in peace.